Teaching and learning in a post-COVID world. Critical race theory. Howard Zinn. Truth. Band? Yeah. There's a whole lot of crazy going on in today's classrooms. Where do you go for sanity? Maybe not here, but Busted Pencils Radio is here to soothe your anxiety. Now back to Tim, Johnny, and Busted Pencils Radio.
Oh, man. We are back, and I love that new promo, especially tonight. I'm thinking about, you know, yeah, we're not going to probably cure the insanity, soothe the anxiety, but I can't think of a better guest who can actually help us level down to understand and have a conversation. We're talking to Dr. Kevin Kumashiro. Check out his website, kevinkumashiro.com, movement building. You know, we started out the show with the anti-CRT, anti-masking, anti-vaxxing, just talking about just, it's so loud, it's so vitriol. And Johnny was saying, it's just like our compass of where we go as educators and how we talk. And Kevin, you agreed, it's like, you know, so that's their playbook. And we talk about their, whatever, it's the right, Republican, whoever you want to talk about, who's ever trying to throw us off of our balance as we're trying to move towards some form of equity, justice, rationality, democracy in what we do in this field. But Kevin, when we're trying to have these conversations, though, it really is important, though, first of all, for us to know what we're talking about, as you said in the first segment. And in fact, we'll talk more about, in fact, you've written an incredibly great guide to help us know what we're talking about. But then to know who we're talking to. And, you know, you laid out three groups. I think the group that already thinks I'm crazy is never going to listen to me. So, but somebody who is going, I'm not convinced, but help me understand. How do you talk to that person?
Yeah, and I feel like that is really our biggest challenge. Is so often, especially those who are doing justice work, we tend to talk to ourselves. And right, we're preaching to the choir, we're preaching to people who agree with us, rather than trying to figure out how do we speak to a much larger audience who perhaps wants to be on our side, but just isn't quite there yet. And I think about, you know, I think of two really important kind of short-term, long-term ways of thinking about how we bring together a larger collective to join the struggle. And the short-term strategy is really what the right, the political right, has been very, very effective at, and that is messaging. That is making things sound like they resonate with our core values, making things sound very commonsensical. I think both of you know, like, I've been obsessed about the role of common sense. And for me, a lot of what I've been writing about over the last like two decades is the argument that when you can make something sound commonsensical, even if there's no research to back you up, you can get a lot of people behind you, just like if you're trying to argue something that doesn't sound commonsensical, even if you have all the research to back you up, you may not get people on board. So a lot of messaging strategies, we try to copy what the right has been doing well. And I'm not saying we should never do that. I think that's an important short-term strategy. We need to think about how to frame things so that people can grasp it. It aligns with values. It aligns with commonsensical ideas. And some of that can be more general. Some of that can be more nuanced. That's what I was saying before. But just to go on the movement building strategy, I do think that there's a longer term strategy. And that is to raise everyone's critical consciousness so that you're asking kind of more skeptical questions about any frame that comes our way. So that this isn't just about who can better brainwash the population. This is much more about how do we get the population to always want to ask, well, what is the frame being presented to me? What are the strengths? What are the weaknesses? Who's driving it? Who benefits? All of those kinds of questions. And how do I partake in coming out with the story that we need to be telling? This to me is what movement building is. Movement building is about acting collectively to rattle the conventional stories and to offer different ones. It's not about simply convincing the masses to buy into what I think is the more politically correct story. It's to collectively build that new story together. So yes, we want to come out with better messages that are more accurate, that are more nuanced, that are more complex, but we also want to build our collective capacity to be able to inquire, to be able to imagine, and to be able to offer a very different, more just way of understanding the context that we find ourselves in.
Johnny, you got something there?
No, I'm
okay. Really... I mean, I'll let you bring it because it just made me, and I'm sitting there and I'm like, okay, Kevin, I hear you. I'm there. but at some point, how do I phrase this? Do we let's just say this, let's take ourselves on the quote justice equity left. Are we responsible sometimes for being not heard? And is that part of what you're getting at?
Being not heard?
I mean, like on the left, social justice, you know, woke warriors, are we offensive to the point that we shut people down from listening to us?
Oh, yeah.
You know, in a way that even that's something we should learn about.
Yeah. I mean, I think this goes so much to like the power of frames, right? And how you message things better. I mean, I think on the one hand, there's a lot of folks, and I think of myself and a lot of my friends are probably in this category where we think we so get it that when we try to talk to other people, no one can hear us because we're so overly confident and we're talking to ourselves. I mean, I do think that that is part of the problem, is that the left often isn't able to speak to other people besides the left. But I think that at the same time, there's another problem, which is that sometimes the left thinks we're offering a different story, but we're actually repeating the same story. It's not that people aren't hearing us. It's that they're hearing us say what everyone else is saying, even though we think we're offering something different. So this has been a lot of my kind of most recent work as I look historically at where has the left or the progressive movement over the last century fallen short in the United States. And my argument is that it's often fallen short because we've retreated. We've done something that we thought was pragmatic, but it doesn't often end up telling a different story. So we may feel no one's hearing us, but that actually is because we may not be actually reframing in mm-hmm. to the extent that we think we are, right?
So we're doubling down. And which is way different than reframing is what I'm hearing you say. There's something about that reframing that becomes that in and of itself, though, then is something we need to learn as we're movement building, because I think it's this idea of going, you're just not hearing me, so I'm going to talk louder. And because I'm talking louder, you're going to hear me. That's not going to work. It requires a frame, truly a different frame of reference to move us there. And you've provided us one, an incredible frame, understanding the attacks on teaching, a background brief for educators and educational leaders. So when we come back from the commercials and the news, we want to spend a little bit of time talking on that before we let you go on your way for the night. So it is Dr. Kevin Kumashiro, Johnny Lupinacci, Tim Slacker, Busted Pencils, Fully Leaded, Education Talk, back after the break.
All right.
Two, three.